Good morning, everyone. You're all very welcome. Welcome to the people sitting in the pews and to our community joining us via the web camera and to those who happen to listen in during the week. And welcome to our visitors from Northern Ireland, Brian and Lena Cockcroft. We begin with our opening words. Divinity is present everywhere. Heaven and earth are filled with God. But in some places and at certain times, we feel this presence more intensely. May this gathering be such a place and such a time. Our chalice lighting. We gather to share our faith in a spirit of freedom, our doubts in a spirit of honesty. We gather to focus our love in prayer, to send it to those who suffer and grieve in our own community and in the wider world. We gather to strengthen the good that it is in us and the goodness that can be stronger throughout the earth. We gather to worship. Our first hymn this morning is hymn number 76. For flowers that bloom about our feet. Hymn number 76. Let us pray. We're not here to judge, but to live as best we can, in peace and harmony with our neighbours, always aware of our own shortcomings. We're not here to condemn, but to give such encouragement and assistance as we can to everyone we meet along the road. We're not here to lecture others on goodness, but to ask how well we match up to the best that we know, and then to try harder. We're not here to speak for God, but to heed the divine voice within ourselves, and to be the divine presence in this glorious, complex, and suffering world. We are here to love our neighbour as ourselves, to be the human to our best ability. Amen. Let us say together the prayer Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Our reader this morning is Thirrin.
Good morning. I'm going to read a little extract from a book called How to Stay Sane in an Age of Division by the Turkish novelist Elif Shafak. The moment we stop listening to diverse opinions is also when we stop learning. Because the truth is, we don't learn much from sameness and monotony. We usually learn from differences. In life, most of what we have come to understand throughout the years, we have acquired by interacting with dissimilar and often challenging views, and by encountering information, criticism, and knowledge hitherto unfamiliar to us, and then processing these internally by growing insight from seeds of discussions, readings, and observations. The thing about groupthink or social media bubbles is that they aggressively feed and amplify repetition. And repetition, however familiar and comforting, will never challenge us mentally, emotionally, or behaviorally. Echoes simply reiterate what has already been said at some point in time, long gone. Like dead stars, they might seem to have a presence from a distance, but in truth, they are completely devoid of life and light. Echo chambers, therefore, severely limit the breadth and depth of the views we subject ourselves to. They ration knowledge, and at the same time, they limit wisdom. Wisdom which connects the mind and the heart, activates emotional intelligence, expands empathy and understanding, allows us to reach beyond the lonely confines of our own minds and engage with the rest of humanity, to listen to them and learn from them. To leave one echo chamber for another is no solution either. We must strive to become intellectual nomads. Keep moving, keep learning. Resist confining ourselves in any cultural or mental ghetto, and spend more time not in select centres, but at the margins, which is where real change always comes from.
We have three very precious children. We love children in this church. Do you know what I mean by peace of mind? Any ideas? It's sort of not being too worried, even when there seems to be a lot to be worried about. And this was a story of a king one time who was a big fan of art. And he decided he would like to promote peace of mind in his people. And he had an art competition. And the remit was to draw peace of mind or peacefulness. So all the people began to send in the pictures to the king. Now, if your school teacher asked you to draw a picture about peacefulness or peace of mind, any idea of what you might draw? Hands together when you're praying like this. Yes, that's one idea. Any other ideas? You're great for giving ideas. Anyway, lots of the drawings were of sunsets and sunrises, calm sea with the sun setting in it, mountains with the mist in it, someone meditating, you know, sitting with their legs crossed, being very relaxed. Doves with olive branches in their beaks, all that sort of thing. And the king looked at all of these, and people were very surprised because the picture he chose as the winner was very different. It was a picture of a mountain, and it wasn't even a beautiful mountain with flowers and trees. There were very few things growing on this mountain. It was very black looking. There were dark clouds all around it, and in the distance you could see flashes of lightning. And people were saying, that doesn't look peaceful to me. That doesn't look very peace of mind. And when the king was asked, well, why did you choose this picture? He pointed down to in the corner of the picture, there was a green bush, and underneath it, a bird had built a nest, and she was sitting happily hatching her eggs. She looked perfectly content. She wasn't worried about the clouds. She wasn't worried about the lightning. She was happily hatching her eggs, and that was her job that she was meant to be doing. And sometimes we adults have to learn that if we want peace of mind, we just have to sit through the storm and do what we're meant to be doing, even if it looks a bit difficult. Denise is taking them downstairs. And can I ask Dennis to come forward for the next part of this service?
As I think most of you know, this church is part of a wider denomination, the non-subscribing Presbyterian Church of Ireland, which covers the whole island. And it's got great pleasure to welcome one of our distinguished ministers from the denomination, Lena Cockcroft, who has been minister in a large number of churches over the years, much loved, and all her work deeply appreciated. She is actually proposed at the General Synod in June to be proposed as moderator of the entire denomination, which is a great joy for us. And we have great pleasure in having her here today, and as a small token of our appreciation, if Lena would like to just come up and...
Can I also say we have two ministers from Northern Ireland. Lena's husband, Brian, is also here. Now can we sing our second hymn this morning? It's hymn number 148, Let Freedom Span Both East and West. Hymn number 148. For my reading, I've chosen a piece. It was written by the Jewish rabbi, Jonathan Sacks. And it was written just after 9/11 in 2001. So when he's talking about people's unease, that's what he was referring to. And he's also talking in the autumn, as we're coming into winter, of a Jewish festival of Sukkot. I know we're going into summer now, but I think the piece is worth listening to. The Jewish festival of Sukkot, known in English as Tabernacles, is a simple festival. We take a palm branch, a citron, and some leaves of myrtle and willow to remind ourselves of nature's power of survival during the coming dark days of winter. And we sit in a sukkot, the tabernacle itself, which is just a shack, open to the sky, with just a covering of leaves for the roof. It's our annual reminder of how vulnerable life is, how exposed to the elements. And yet we call Sukkot our festival of joy, because sitting there in the cold and the wind, we remember that above us and around us are the sheltering arms of the divine presence. If I were to summarize the message of Sukkot, I would say it's a tutorial in how to live with uncertainty and still celebrate life. And living with insecurity is where we are right now. In these uncertain days, people have been cancelling flights, delaying holidays, not going to theatres or public places. The physical damage of living like this will be over, but the emotional damage will continue for months, maybe years to come. Yesterday, a newspaper columnist wrote that looking back, future historians will call ours the age of uncertainty and anxiety. How can you live with the fear and restrictions? For our family, it's brought back memories of just over 10 years ago. We'd gone to live in Israel for a while before I became chief rabbi. We went to breathe in the inspiration of the Holy Land and to find peace. Instead, we found ourselves in the middle of the Gulf War. 39 times we had to put on our gas masks and take shelter in a sealed room as Scud missiles rained down. And as the sirens sounded, we never knew whether the next missile would contain chemical or biological warheads, or whether it would hit us. It should have been a terrifying time, and it was. But my goodness, it taught me something I never knew before, just how much I loved my wife and our children. I stopped living for the future and started thanking God for every day. And that's when I learned the meaning of tabernacles and its message for our time. Life can be full of risk and yet still be a blessing. Faith doesn't mean living with certainty. Faith is the courage to live with uncertainty, knowing that God is with us, and that though but necessary journey in a world that honors life and treasures peace. That is the world we live in. Let us pray. How beautiful it is when people fearlessly and non-violently stand up against injustice. We give thanks for the examples of Jesus, Gandhi, Martin Luther King, and those who work for peace in our country. We thank the politicians who more than 20 years ago went that extra mile for peace. May their actions inspire today's politicians as they grapple with a divided society. How beautiful it is when people mediate disputes and act as bridge builders. How beautiful it is when people look beyond the surface to recognize the humanity we all share. We give thanks for community leaders who reach out in peace to those who are seen to be different or on the other side. How beautiful it is when we work to build peace. When people are prepared to respect the views, beliefs of those who hold different views. When people are prepared to speak their truth quietly and with respect and to hear other people's truths. May we show our respect for differences in the words we use, the tone of our voices, and our willingness to change. How beautiful it is when people apologize for past wrongdoings, seek forgiveness, and work for the restoration of broken relationships. Jesus blessed the peacemakers and called them children of God. How beautiful it is when people work for peace. May we all be workers for peace in our lives and in the world. We now have a time of silence for personal reflection, and Josh will bring it to an end by a piece of music. The title of this morning's address is Peace of Mind. There's a story about a farmer who was getting old, and he knew he needed somebody to help him around the farm, and he was nervous about employing just anyone. His friend heard of the predicament, and he sent a young man called John, we'll call him, to the farm. The farmer liked young John, and being sensible, he decided he would check out John's references. And his former employer wrote a short note to the farmer, and the note says, "John sleeps well in a storm." Cryptic. Not long afterwards, the Met Office issued a red weather storm alert. The farmer was woken to the sound of the wind howling and the rain belting down. He went to John's room and tried to wake him to ask him to go around and check everything was okay. But no amount of calling, of shaking, calling John could wake him. The farmer had to go out himself, and when he went out, he found that the animals were safe and secure in the barn. They were well fed and well watered, and everything was firmly bolted. Anything that needed to be tied down was firmly tethered. Going back to bed in the rain, for the first time, the farmer understood that reference. John slept soundly because he had attended fully to the things over which he had control. And then he just got on with life. And that story has been sort of rattling around in my brain this past few weeks. For years, we brought into the myth that Western governments had everything under control. When you think back to the economic crash of 2008, that was disruptive. But unlike the great crash of 1929, it didn't result in a worldwide depression. Governments knew what to do to prevent that. The COVID virus caused a bit of a wobble in our self-belief, but the development of effective vaccines in just months confirmed that we did have everything under control. But just as we began to plan our post-pandemic travels and adventures, war broke out in Europe. This war has changed our world, and we feel truly powerless. Day after day, on our television screens, we see the deliberate destruction of homes and cities. And right to the fringes of Western Europe, we are experiencing an influx of women and children in need of sanctuary. The reality of war, with bodies left unburied in the streets, is beamed to our homes, and there is mounting evidence of war crimes. Suddenly, our economy, which was so resilient, is being affected. The price of fuel has rocketed. There's talk of food shortages and the possibility of power cuts. People are worried about rising prices for every bill they pay. We do feel out of control. Our peace of mind is shaken. These days are a wake-up call for us. It's a time when we have to show solidarity. It is a time for us to honour our common humanity and to keep faith with victims of oppression everywhere. And we have to remind ourselves of a few things. We may think that the world has changed over the past few months, but it's more accurate to say that the Western world, and Europe particularly, is experiencing the economic and political uncertainty that is reality for the majority of the world's population. That sense of security we had is an illusion. In an insecure world, it's important that we look after our peace of mind. And peace of mind is not a yes or no, I'm peaceful in my mind. It's a continuum. Our sense of being peaceful in mind ebbs and flows through time and in reaction to events in the world. So it is a time for us to cultivate our resilience. Remember that quotation from Matthew's Gospel? Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble are enough for today. Easier said than done, of course. But many of the things that are now impinging on our peace of mind haven't actually happened yet. So it's not a time for despair. This is a wake-up call for us who have been lulled into sleepwalking through life by the habit of comfort. We really have. We sleepwalk through life addicted to our comforts. These events will change us. We may be actually changed for the better by them. But no matter what transpires on the world stage, remember, we still have control over how we react. And religion and religious practice has a role to play for us. Religion is not pie in the sky when we die. Religion is about living this life in a way that will nurture joy, particularly in the presence of adversity. It is building and being a community where we take care of one another. Religion is believing, as Dame Julian of Norwich said, that all will be well and all manner of things will be well. It is impossible to ignore the war stories, but we also need to pay attention to the good news stories as well. Reaching out to help others and remembering the good news really nurtures peace of mind. And the other big news story last week was Charlie Bird's climb of Croagh-Patrick. It raised over 2 million or something for charity. But the story is not about the money that was raised. The essence of that story is the nobility of human courage in the face of adversity. It is wider community coming together to make a network of security so that the most vulnerable can climb their mountain. It is joining our voices in song in the presence of suffering, in defiance of the pain. The war news and dire economic predictions are drowning out urgent stories that are vital to the very survival of humanity. The most recent reports on climate change show that our window of opportunity to avert climate chaos is narrower than we believed. And we're happy not to hear that story, really, aren't we? The science is unequivocal. And equally clear is that we are doing nothing but talking hot air. We talk about what we may do in the future. I just looked at a lovely graph that we have produced that we will be carbon neutral by 2050, and it shows step down, then an even steeper step down, just to above zero. It's a beautiful graph, and it's very uplifting to look at. But when you put the actual graph of carbon emissions right now beside it, superimpose it, that graph is going upwards. You know, drawing pictures, pretty as they are on a graph is not going to solve that issue. However, the laws of economics always operate. Higher prices mean that we will use less of that commodity. Higher oil prices will force us to use less fossil fuels. So could it be that today's higher oil prices may be a white knight that rescues us from our addiction to fossil fuels and maybe thereby save life on our planet? If by some blessing the war in Ukraine were to stop right now, oil prices would fall back to about $60 a barrel, and straight away we would use more oil. We know it. That's how we always do it. So we will have to make adjustments to our lifestyle. We will turn down the heating and wear another layer of jumpers. We may need to heat the bed rather than the entire house. These changes are simply just a return to a simpler form of living. They're how most of us grew up, and certainly how most of our parents lived. But they are a great deal kinder to our planet. And it's dreadful to think how unthinking we are when it comes to using fossil fuels. For those of you who know Tony Brady, Tony loves technology, and he's got solar panels on his roof, and he's got an app on his phone that shows him the electricity they're using in the house right now. And he was amazed because there was a lot of electricity being used, and they were going around like detectives, turning things on and off. What was using the electricity more than the fridge and the freezer? The microwave, the clock on the microwave was using a lot. So Tony says, turn off your clock in the microwave, which is what Paul did. Sensible, he turned off the clock on the microwave. The next morning, I went down to the microwave and said, oh God, I have to turn on the switch. Oh, it's so hard. You know, I had to do that. And then turn it off again. And I was thinking, how lazy can we get? How lazy can I get? Turning on and off a switch. In the coming days, we may need to change our diets, reduce our food miles. We may have to say goodbye to strawberries and roses at Christmas time. This will not be a famine. As we adapt to these changes, our mental attitude to the changes we have to make will affect our peace of mind. We can see ourselves as eco-warriors caring for the planet. We can make a virtue out of thrift, or we can feel deprived and feel unsettled and lacking in peace because of it. So here are a few practical ways to nurture peace of mind. Live in the present. Accept circumstances as they are. Do what you can to improve things, but let go of expectations. Take time every day to pray, meditate, or do whatever practice you find helpful for your peace of mind. Keep close to the world of nature. Nature heals and nourishes the soul. Nurture compassion for all living beings. And remember that our compassion has to include the Russians, soldiers and politicians. War damages the human soul. Christian teaching tells us we have to love our enemies. And the Buddha rightly pointed out that hatred is never destroyed by hating in return. Only love can destroy hatred. This following prayer was found in the pocket of a Jewish prisoner in Ravensbrück concentration camp. It sums up what has been asked of us. Lord, remember not only the men and women of goodwill, but those of ill will. But do not remember all the suffering they have inflicted on us. Remember, too, the fruits we have wrought through this suffering, our generosity, the greatness of heart which has grown out of all this. And when you come to judge, let all this fruit which we have borne be their forgiveness. It's an impossible ask, we think. It is what is asked of us. This is the mountain we must climb in the days ahead. We have to be the doers of generous deeds. We have to be great in heart and filled with compassion. Amen. There are copies of Oscult magazine on the table on the way out, and also copies of the Inquirer and NSPCI magazines. We're not taking an offertory up, but there's a donation box on the way out, and it's possible to make a donation to the church from our website. Wednesday, there's a service of reflection in the church at 1:05 till about 1:35, and that's available on the web as well. Next Friday is Good Friday, and we will be reading the names of almost 3,600 people who lost their lives in 30 years of violence in Northern Ireland. I need about 3 more readers if anyone is willing to volunteer. We begin at 12 o'clock on Good Friday. During the service, we like to have a piece of music sort of on the hour on Good Friday. Josh has 2 pieces. If there's a musician around who'd like to volunteer to play, they'd be very welcome. The AGM of the congregation will take place in church on Sunday, the 24th of April, immediately after the service. And members will be able to join via Zoom. That link will be sent out closer to the date. I also need volunteers to take services over the summer, particularly need someone on the 1st of May. I have to go to a service in Belfast. So if there's somebody available to take a service on the 1st of May, let me know. And also in May, the 8th probably, I will have plants available in the church. Flower plants, tomato plants. Don't please buy tomato plants. And any money people give for these, by way of donation, will go to the Refugee Welcoming Committee of the church. The other thing is that in probably the last Sunday of June, this is for your diary, we're beginning to organise a visit to Kylemore Abbey, the beautiful Kylemore Abbey in County Galway. It's home to a group of Benedictine nuns. It was built by a Unitarian, and there's a beautiful church in the grounds, and the nuns have kindly given us permission to hold a service in Kylemore. So looking like the 24th of June, or 26th of June, I think it is, maybe for your diary. Our blessing. Spirit of God, who transcends our differences and holds us in the palm of loving hands, forgive our failures and be with us in our struggles to sense your will in what we do. As we part, let it be in love, with resolve to find a way forward for our communities of faith and to bless us as we go on our way. Amen.